Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. Screeners, it's been quite an exciting couple of weeks. Today is another one of those weeks where we don't have the solo to my Chewbacca. He is off on another mission somewhere across the lands of Lebanon. That mission being him seeing his close friends being married off. So congratulations to those friends. I'm not in the studio alone, so that's good. We're about to see how exciting my guests are going to be on the show. I've prepared something very special. I didn't know what to do at first and figured maybe I'd try to solo this episode out. But then I sent a message out to a few of my no longer students. Two of them happily volunteered. The other two were big douches about it, so they're not here. So that'll be a fun part of the show. I'll Mr. Feeny the hell out of this episode. So it'll be fun. But first, we've got our first voice message question on Script to Screen. It's awesome. So let's check the hologram here and listen to that question from a fan and a listener to the show. Hopefully Lucasfilms won't sue me for using R2-D2's voice, but there we go. So here is the voice message.
Hey Alan, hey Had. I honestly love your show. I think you guys are doing a great job with Script to Screen. It's always so much fun to listen to you guys talk about films and TV shows we all love. So I do have two questions for you guys. One regarding the launching of a Pokemon cinematic universe. Do you guys think it would live up to be as good as what we have seen with the Marvel and the DC universe? The second question is regarding the remake of the 1984 David Lynch Dune adaptation, and with Denis Villeneuve directing the project, it seems for us fans like the perfect choice. Do you think we'll finally get the Dune we've all been waiting for? And so, anyway, that's it. Have a great week, guys. Keep it up.
Okay. So, Carl, that was a message from Carl. Let me jump in and try to answer the first question for you, because as I said, Hod is not here, so we're not going to get his perspective on it. I don't even know if Hod actually ended up watching the Detective Pikachu movie, but I know I did because I unashamedly or shamelessly have always been a huge Pokemon fan. So that was literally my childhood growing up. So as far as what I think Warner Brothers will do with a Pokemon cinematic universe, I haven't heard anything along those lines, whether or not they're going to do a cinematic universe or not, like a live action cinematic universe. I personally really enjoyed Detective Pikachu. It was exactly what I was looking for from a Pokemon movie. Obviously, we're not going to see Pokemon nominated for any Oscars. So it's not like I was expecting something that was going to be, overly philosophical or overly emotionally engaging. But it was a good time. I loved the visuals. I loved seeing some of those Pokemon look real, which was a lot of fun. Mewtwo stole the show for me, obviously, because Mewtwo is a badass. But as far as the cinematic universe, look, I'd be open to the idea. I personally would not object to an idea of a live action Pokemon universe. I think that would be a lot of fun. Warner Brothers, their history with the DC universe hasn't been the best, but they've done really good universes aside from the DC universe. Obviously, like The Conjuring has its own universe now, with the Annabelle movies and the Conjuring movies, and all that stuff. So, they've done really good with their horror stuff. Would they do a good job with the detective or like with a Pokemon universe? Maybe. I don't know. I'm open to the idea, but it all rests on whether or not Detective Pikachu does enough money that Warner Brothers okays a sequel. And I'm not 100% sure if it has done anything superb as of yet. So that's that for me on the Detective or on the Pokemon universe side. As far as the Dune question, I haven't read the book. So, or the books, because I know there's like a bunch of them. So I haven't read the Dune books. I've read a little bit about what the storyline is about. I have not seen David Lynch's, I think his was a TV adaptation. Maybe it was a movie. I haven't seen that. But I am someone who is obsessively in love with Denis Villeneuve's work. Arrival was a great film. Sicario, the first Sicario, obviously, was a great film. What were the other movies that he's done? He's done a bunch. Blade Runner 2049, obviously. So with those films in mind, I think Denis Villeneuve is like the perfect director to kind of grab hold of this intellectual property and turn it into the franchise that I think a lot of Dune fans have always wanted it to be. I know for a fact that the first film is only going to cover the first half of book one. So there's a bunch of movies coming out if this one succeeds. And I have a feeling that Denis Villeneuve will knock it out of the park. On top of it, he's got an amazing cast so far aboard the movie, headlined with Timothée Chalamet, who you could give Timothée Chalamet a garbage bag and he'd make an Oscar-worthy performance out of it. The kid's amazing. So, and I think seeing Denis Villeneuve doing something that is a much bigger, slightly more commercial, maybe, project is an exciting prospect. I've always said that I've wanted to see Denis Villeneuve take on a Star Wars movie because I think he would infuse it with so much artistry that people who are like, Star Wars is so commercial, will have to shut up because Denis Villeneuve will infuse it with a lot of artistry. My students are laughing at me in the other room. That's what I think. I think we're in for something very special with Denis Villeneuve taking over Dune. As far as the Pokemon universe, I'm for it because I'm a Pokemon geek. So you're not, I mean, I still dabble with the game every once in a while. And I, you know, look at my old Pokemon cards when I want to feel 12. So I'm open to it. Not sure if the Pokemon thing is going to happen, though. Dune, though, definitely counting down for that. So thank you. Thank you, Carl, for sending in that voice message. Obviously, guys, if any of our screeners out there who are listening to the show, you can always do this. You can send us a voice message on the Anchor app or the website, because now Anchor has opened that up so that you can send us voice messages as well on the website. So all you have to do is go to anchor.fm, sign up, obviously, for a free account. Look up Script to Screen, favorite Script to Screen on the show, you know, on the app or on the website, and then essentially just send us a voice message. You know, you can send voice message and record, and we'll receive it and we'll play it on the show and we will answer it, because we are those kinds of people. We answer our fans' questions. So real quick, I decided, actually, this was kind of a realization. Once I realized that every once in a while, Hod was going to be, because obviously Hod is the more busy one out of the two of us on Saturdays, because I literally have no life other than Script to Screen. Well, except for next Saturday, because I'm taking my mom to go see a concert, but that's me taking out my mom. So, all right, moving on. So I realized that I wanted to make sure that I had enough guests to be, you know, in these episodes. So I've totally opened it up and now opened Pandora's box and a can of worms. Because now as soon as the rest of my students realize that I invited two of my other students to be on the show, now all my students want to be on the show. So obviously this is what's going to happen. So every once in a while, whenever Hod is not here, I'm going to bring in these youngsters, these young aspiring filmmakers, writers, sound designers, you know, whatever, artistas, so that we could talk about the business and the industry. So without much further ado, here are the two students, ex-students. I need to stop saying the word student. Every time I say student, nobody take a shot, because, you know, we're a respectful show here. So I need to introduce them. So here we go. Joel Jackless and Omar Aitani, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
All right. They're very shy, obviously. So, yes, I nicknamed them the two puppies because they are literally that. If you look at them on the wall, one of them is a kitten. The other one's a puppy, because I can't, you know, we can't change it, because I know you like cats and stuff. So, all right. So you're done.
Yeah,
finally.
You're done. You're done with university. How long did it take you? Four years?
Five.
Okay, well, someone's a little slow. No, I'm just kidding. So it took you, so we'll ballpark it to around like between 3 to 5 years it took you to do this. How exciting is it that you guys are like done?
Mixed feelings, actually.
Okay, why? Why is that?
It's like we're stepping in a different, I don't know, another thing.
You're stepping into another what?
Level or
you're gonna talk too. So is it the idea of the like you're stepping out into a completely different game now?
It's now we're going to the career life.
Like, okay.
Yeah. So it's something scary because like you don't know if you're gonna get the job you want.
Okay.
Be happy or whatever.
Okay. See, you can do this. Plus what?
There are different majors in our industry, so you
Correct.
Really don't know what you want.
Okay.
Maybe you'd work on something for the money, but it's not the thing you really want.
Okay, interesting. We'll come back to that idea in a little bit. What about you, Mr. Aitani?
Well, it's not that different, because I already started working in the field, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So that this is nice. This is a very interesting dynamic then, because we have someone who hasn't really worked much in the field. You worked on student projects, yes, a bunch, student short films, but we've had someone, you know, you did start working 2 years ago. You started sort of professionally working in the industry.
Yeah.
As a
sound designer and sound recordist.
Okay.
And also a music composer.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So for you, it's not that different then?
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that you no longer have classes.
Exactly. It's like I took a semester break last fall, and it feels like...
Like that?
Last fall.
Okay, yeah. Except it's going to last longer considering there is no spring semester coming at you.
Exactly.
Okay, so back to the thing that you basically said a little earlier, because I think that's very interesting. Because I, you know, there aren't that many universities in Lebanon that really focus on specific aspects in the industry. The majority of them just kind of give you a brush over, you know, specifically the ones that, let's say, for a lack of a better term, specifically the ones that mix radio, television, and film together. There's a bunch of universities that do this in Lebanon. So do you think, as someone now that you're stepping out into the world, do you think that having had the exposure to these three mediums, Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
It was definitely a good thing.
Okay.
It's nice to know everything about the industry.
Okay.
So you can find out yourself. And for example, I wanted to be a director, then I changed to an editor, and now I want to be a screenwriter. So, mm-hmm.
Which makes me very happy. okay, so that, but do you think that having the exposure to all of these things gives you the ability to choose, or do you think it confuses you more?
No, it gives me the ability to choose, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about your thoughts?
Yeah.
On the option, on the topic.
Okay. I think it works here in Lebanon.
Okay, because
like TV stations, production houses, and radio stations ask for people who can do a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff.
Okay.
Like I know a lot of people who are working as a social media person who would also edit.
Okay.
And then also do sound.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Sometimes act.
So. Yeah, yeah. So this is a thing that happens in also act. I love that we threw that in there at the end. It is an interesting thing in Lebanon that we have this issue. And I'm going to call it an issue because it is an issue when, you know, specifically when you guys are in classes that basically tell you that there are different roles and different people who are supposed to be in different roles. And then you go into the field in Lebanon and you're seeing that, you know, this one person is in this production house and they're doing seven things instead of having one person for each of those things. Does that scare you? Do you feel like you're less... is this one of the reasons why you feel like you're not going to be able to find the work because you don't know all of these different things, or you are not someone who can juggle three or four different positions? Or
I believe you need to focus on one thing to do it better and not all of these.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it also depends on the on how big the projects are.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, most of the projects are really small and like has small budget.
Okay.
So they have to hire one person for several positions. And that's how it happens in most cases.
Yeah, most cases when you have a smaller budget, you end up giving one person the pricing of the smaller budget, but they're doing seven different jobs, which in hindsight doesn't seem logical or fair. Yeah. I'd almost wish, like, not necessarily wish that, but I almost feel like it would be better if you were to divide up that budget for that one person and bring on more people. I almost feel like maybe the work would be better, almost, because yeah, then it wouldn't be that one person juggling seven different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's me thinking out loud.
But also means that the each person would get less money.
Well, right, but you're doing the work, the one position, instead of doing the seven. So, essentially speaking, you're not really making less money because you're technically making less money because you're doing seven things and you're only getting paid for the one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, technically speaking, I almost don't feel like it would be less money per se. But I totally get your... Get your thought process on that. And as far as you having worked 2 years, mm-hmm. Since, you know, for the past 2 years, you've done more than just film stuff. You've done theater work as well.
Yeah. I do sound for plays. I'm also now going to that direction. I'm focusing on that direction.
Oh,
now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Shifting away from.
Yeah, a little bit.
From because cinema a little bit. Okay.
I'm a little bit interested in live performances.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And live music because it's a bit interactive.
Yeah.
It's more interactive,
for sure.
Of course. I like that. I like that in theater and in live performances.
That's cool. I did not know that about you. Learn something new every day. Learn something new every day. And then let's also kind of open up the subject of, you know, we'll go back to university experience before we start talking about like goals and all that stuff that we want to discuss a little later on the show before we take our second break. let's go ahead and look back at your university experience. What do you think you got away? What was the one thing that you feel like you got from your university experience that you think is going to stay with you across, you know? There's always that one lesson. Like for me, when I was at university, it was, you know, the statement that I've basically said to you guys in class all the time, which is, you know, it takes a village. This is one of the things that have that's constantly stayed with me, is that it takes a village to make a movie, or you can apply it to anything. It takes a village to do anything successful. So what are one of the, you know, what is that one lesson that you learned maybe, or that one thing that a teacher said that you think will stick with you until you eventually forget it?
I'd say to be in control when you have to.
Okay.
Try not to always work with friends.
Ah, those words sound familiar. Why do you think that's what's gonna stay with you? The idea of like try not to always work with friends.
Because I've struggled.
Okay. Because you worked with friends?
Yeah, I love them all and everything.
Maybe should I listen to your teacher? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What do you think makes it difficult to work with friends?
They don't get your position. It's like, oh, you're a friend of ours. We're not going to listen to you. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It depends, I guess. I won't do that.
No, you're the only.
Yeah, but you're a puppy, though. So. Okay, no, but I get what you're saying. So there's this idea that, you know, like, you've been out together, you've gone drinking together, you've eaten together. There's this idea of like, oh, what? Like, now you're going to come and tell me what to do. You know, there is that sort of thing that not all people, and I'm not going to say like, because I think maybe like some of your friends might not be this way, but I feel like, you know, just saying that in general, I think this is one of the reasons why one of my rules has always been I don't go out with my students, is because I'm always afraid of that barrier being crossed, because, ah, sir, but we've seen you, you know, with a beer. And it's like, yeah, but I'm in the classroom, I'm still your teacher, you know? So I do get that. I do get that concern. But then again, on the off side of that, and I think that's where, you know, I would have to kind of like side with on that for a second, is that in a, you know, I say don't work with your friends because I've seen that side of it. However, I also feel like we've seen many successes this year of people working with their friends, you know, within the university, that a bunch of students all work together. In some cases, it works really well. I know a lot of my friends in the US and in Australia and all that stuff, they always work together and they're the closest friends. In Australia, I think they all live in the same apartment. So like they live together, they work together, they make movies together. It's like everything they do it together. And it's it makes for a very healthy environment. So I almost feel like it has to go back to the person themselves and whether or not they can handle being on a set and taking on the position that they were supposed to be in and understanding that on the set, it's business and it's not personal. You know, I think that's the line that's very sensitive. And I feel like in some cases for you, some people were very business oriented and others were not. Mm-hmm. What about you?
About that lesson.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's different. I will go with that. If we're talking film now.
Well, we're talking just, yeah. I mean, because that's the major that you were in. So,
yeah. I mean, the last lesson I focus on or I have in mind that the most important element in a film is the story. Because I
am like the happiest person today. I was really hoping that you weren't going to quote me at all. Like it would be some other teacher, but the ego boost is nice on a Saturday. Okay. Why do you think that is? Why has that finally come to your mind now? Cause you just said like you recently like understood it or like it clicked. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, because after I've seen a lot of short films, I worked in a lot of short films. I started to see repetition because of, I mean, how the film looks.
Okay.
I see that it always looked the same, but slightly different twist, slightly different characters. Because most people are not focusing on the story as much as they're focusing on the cinematography. So yeah, that's why. I also took a workshop, a storytelling workshop.
Oh!
And I realized that a film or a screenplay is somehow like storytelling.
It is.
Or storytelling is closer to a screenplay than it is to a book.
Yes. I would agree to that. I would agree to that in many ways.
Yeah. So because you can when you're telling a story, you can tell more details whenever you want. You can just pass on some details. Like, it's like editing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And when you're storytelling, you have to appease to the listener's senses, and that's exactly what you have to do in a film as well, is to grab on to those senses and go back to the senses, and you know, what do we see, what do we hear, what do we feel, blah 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 blah, yeah, all that stuff. So okay, I like that.
And lately, like, most of the films that I liked wasn't that how can I say it? doesn't has any sophisticated visuals or
okay. So they're not like technically, they're not focused so much on the technicalities of it or the technical work, but they are very story driven films. Okay, well that's fun. All right, it's funny because I'm literally one of the youngest instructors at the university where my non-student students went. You know, it doesn't take too much to remember on my end, you know, what it was like being a student, what it was like studying film, what it was like, you know, those grueling few months right after you graduate from university. And try to figure out what the heck to do with your lives after you're done. Because you're pretty much set on a routine. I even remember this from my master's, how much of my life was pretty much set on a routine. I had due dates. I had things I had to do. And then you're done. And then you're kind of free. And your brain goes, no more due dates. And so you... Without even paying attention, you start procrastinating a little more. You drop into the slight, you know what, I'm just going to chill today and I'm not going to do anything kind of mentality. Has that started to happen yet?
Definitely.
I'm taking a year off.
There it is. Yeah. There's that line. You know what? I've decided to take 365 days to not do anything. Do either of you plan on moving forward with your academia?
Not really.
Okay, so on your end, you're done.
So far, yes.
Okay,
so far.
For me, it depends.
On.
I want to try writing a series. If I didn't do that, I don't think I'm gonna do a master's.
Okay.
If I didn't, I definitely would.
Okay, so it all depends on whether or not you can knock out those 30 episodes of a television series. Okay, so let's jump back. This is gonna be fun. Let's jump back and talk about your senior projects real quick. Your senior thesis projects, because they're very different genres on you know, between the both of you. You Joelle went for a very lighthearted, colorful kind of social comedy, let's say, whereas Omar did a very ballsy move this year. He was one of a few students who really decided to take on genres that we really haven't seen yet at AUSD. So the genre that he chose was a mockumentary, which at the time when he pitched, because I was his advisor at the university, when he pitched the idea of the mockumentary, I was like, I was concerned because, again, we haven't seen students want to try these different genres, which is sad. And again, this is something that I always try to push my students to do in the writing for film class, is to kind of try to push and expand on genres and try to be a little bit more genre oriented. Joelle's film that you wrote in my writing for film class was very genre oriented. It was a crime film. It was, you know, like a crime drama, as Omar tries to break the table inside the other studio. You know, it was dark. It was gruesome. It followed the killer the majority of the time. You know, very psychological, very David Fincher, you know, very mindhunter-y kind of thing. And then you went for something a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more colorful, something a la, you know, very narrated, a la Desperate Housewives, you know, that sort of thing. So what was that moment where you realized, okay, I'm not going to do the crime thing?
When I wanted one location, not different locations.
Okay.
So I changed the whole
thing. So it was more of a production issue than a narrative issue.
Yes, because I love the story. I love my previous script, but I wanted something easier for me.
Okay. For your senior thesis.
Yeah, but it wasn't your script twice. No.
Yeah, she, in a way, yes, it was one location with a few set of characters, but the narrative itself became way more complex and way more difficult and way more rhythmic and way more, you know, like she added more complications by limiting a location complication. Ooh, that sounds like a cool short film idea. The location complication. Actually, it sounds like a Big Bang Theory title episode, because they always have the Emancipation Proclamation or whatever. Yeah. So you know, she got rid of the locations, but then it became more of a story complication.
Yes.
Than that. And then Omar, you had a very interesting journey with your senior project, because it was supposed to be one thing a year ago. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right? It was like a year ago that you pitched me the idea, and I was like, okay, yeah, go for it, because we haven't seen animation.
Yeah, it was
at AUSC. We've never seen animation. And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, so it's not going to be animation. I've changed my mind, and I don't know what I want to do. And then you like disappeared, and then you came back with mockumentary.
Yeah.
So what was that journey like for you? Because you did disappear, so I don't know what that journey of discovery was like for you.
Okay. First of all, the animation. I had two ideas for animation, actually.
Yeah, I do remember. I remember both, yeah. Actually.
I was supposed to work with a person, a friend, but he was so busy. I put that idea on hold, the animation thing. And then in summer, I saw a movie about the same idea. It has very similar, very, very similar screenplay.
Okay.
It was a French one. And then I gave up on it being an animation.
Okay.
So I still wanted to go for this idea, the guy getting bald thing. Mm-hmm. So I made it a mockumentary.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Because the idea itself didn't necessarily change that much. Mm-hmm. It was just the way you went about giving forth that idea or executing that idea that changed. So you went from the animation medium to a visual, like a, you know, live action, I guess, medium. And then it was a mockumentary.
Yeah.
And I remember at that time telling you, okay, so if you want to do a mockumentary, you have to go 100%. Give it your all, take advantage of that genre, or don't do it at all. And then lucky for Mr. Itani, he followed through on that advice. Which, by the way, I didn't get to tell you, but hearing everybody laugh in that room was the greatest moment in my teaching career, because I was like, he nailed it. Like, the kid nailed it. Like, there wasn't anybody that wasn't laughing in that room, which that was awesome. Because it's very hard to make people laugh. Like, it's so hard to make people laugh. But it was magic. It was like lightning in a bottle. It was magic. Everybody was laughing. Miss Aisha was having a blast with that script, with the movie. So that was a lot of fun. So now that you have this film, both of you have these movies, what are things that you're looking forward to doing now that this chapter of your lives is done?
With the movie?
No, with just in general. So like now that, you know, you've done your first short film, you're done with university, what are things that you're like, okay, so I want to try this or I want to try that, or what are things that you want to do, look forward to doing?
Writing a sitcom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because for all of you who don't know Joe really well, she's a sitcom addict. Like, it's insane the amount of sitcoms this girl has seen and watched and
over and over,
memorizing beats. I mean, even her short film could be, and in many ways, it could be looked at and analyzed as a sitcom, because even the camera movement and the camera angles are very sitcom-y, if you think about it, because you had them sitting in a semicircle, which is a very sitcom-y thing to do. You know, your close-ups are very, you know, very specific, even though technically in sitcoms, you don't get a lot of close-ups, but, you know, so you want to tackle the sitcom.
Yes.
Concept, which is great because we don't have sitcoms right now in Lebanon. We don't have sitcoms anymore. We have reruns of old sitcoms, but we don't have anything new in this region, which that could be a good opportunity for you. Okay. So, yeah, best of luck with that.
Thank you. You're going to help me. So best of luck to you, too.
Bazinga. OK. And what about you, Mr. Itani?
OK, for the film. I'm thinking about writing two other short mockumentaries.
There it is. Lebanon's own mockumentarist. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the right time and the right people.
Okay. But can we get a tease as to what topics you're gonna cover?
Well, it's very similar. The first one, the only one I made.
Yeah.
It was about me getting bald.
Okay.
And I'm planning to write two other mockumentaries for two other people, like two other interviewers.
Okay.
Talking about other insecurities. But in the same world, same, yeah, I mean.
Wow, that's super, so like a shared mockumentary universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at that. Watch out, Marvel, you know. That's really cool. That's a very, very cool idea.
And I'm thinking that my mockumentary is more of online or Vimeo kind of material.
Okay.
So yeah, it has to be like a series of mockumentaries, online series of mockumentaries.
That sounds like such a cool idea.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Thanks.
You know, it could be like the Insecurity Saga. Marvel has the Infinity Saga. It'll be the Insecurity Saga. So that's cool. That's film-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You said film-wise. Yeah. So is there anything aside from film-wise?
Yeah, of course.
More live,
more music, more sound, more live performances.
Yes. All right.
Already some friends are talking about physical theater and live music with physical theater.
Okay, cool.
So I'm looking forward for these projects.
I also cornered you and told you I need, you know, like prep yourself because there's a project that I was thinking of, and over the weekend the project grew into something way bigger than I expected it to be. So we went from potentially doing doing a short film adaptation of my poetry book to me doing a feature length adaptation of my poetry book. And not only that, but it's also going to be experimental. So a genre I've never dabbled in. So the reason why I was asking you, what are you excited about? Is because I wanted to see, you know, where your brains are at. Because of that, you know, I was writing the pitch for this thing that I'm working on, because I don't even know what to call it at this point. This project that I'm working on. And a part of me was like, you know, going to university, and this is something we'll cover in the final segment. Going to university, I almost feel like, you know, life and studying and all that stuff put me in a small box. And I almost feel like I just want to break that box open and just have fun, you know, because there's no script. There's mm-hmm. poems. There's no three-act structure. There's poems. And there's no... So, like, everything I've taught you, I basically said, you know what? I teach it, but I'm not going to listen to it. So I'm just going to do something completely different and try to have fun and be creative and be as artistic as I can be. And then it went from me doing this to me inviting some of my filmmaker buddies that I know that are, like, almost in the same age range, my life, as far as like experience, and they're each going to take on a poem. So it's going to be like a bunch of different filmmakers working on different poems. It's going to be insane. So I don't know if we're all going to use your talents, but I know the stuff that I'm doing, I need your talents for, because, you know, like ambient sounds and all that. Yeah, so it's yeah. a lot of sound design that I'm going to need, like super duper, intricate sound designs that we're going to need, I think. And I almost feel like if we're, it should almost all be with one sound designer. I don't mind having different DOPs, but I almost feel like the sound should be kind mm-hmm. of...
different DOPs?
Yeah.
It could be.
Definitely different DOPs. Because I'm not going to force the other filmmakers to work with a person that I want to work with, because they might have their own... DOPs to go to. So I think it'll be also very interesting to have different visions, mm-hmm. different looks, different feels, different, because it's going to be vignettes. It's not like, again, it's not like a one movie. It's a different vignettes with it. It's 35 vignettes that make up this movie. So it'll be, yeah, it's exciting. It's confusing because I don't even know what it is at the moment. And this is a very exciting thing about it. All right, guys, our show is slowly coming to an end. Wow, I really sounded like a radio guy just now. so it's slowly coming to an end here with 5 minutes left before we start heading out and doing, you know, doing the typical script to screen goodbye kind of routine. But before then, I have one more question to ask both of my guests, my non-student students, mm-hmm. Which is, if you can give one piece of advice to any up-and-coming youngster who is about to take on the journey to study film, to study, you know, this craft that we all love and have this amazing, weird addiction for, what would it be?
You start.
No, you start. I don't think I'm ready to give advices.
Okay, I might think of another one.
Okay, that's fine.
So far, don't think it's an easy thing. At all.
Okay. Yeah, are you trying to scare people?
It is easy.
Are you trying to scare people? Okay, so don't think it's an easy thing in what aspect? Like, don't go in expecting an easy A type thing?
No, not the grades and the university. Like, working on a movie, the process of making a short okay. movie or anything, it's not as easy as you might think it is.
Okay. All right. So don't think it's easy. Be prepared to go to war. That sort of thing. All right. Mr. Okay. Itani?
Maybe let your work looks like... make sure that whatever you do, it looks like you.
Brilliant. Yes. I mean, yes. I like it. I like it.
That's it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. This idea, you know, I give you a very similar thing in writing for film, which is like write what you know. So, yeah, let your work express who you are, mm-hmm. which is essentially us going back to the idea of like, let your work be genuine and let your work be honest. And this is something we talk about on the show. Had and I talk about on the show all the time is that this where we're seeking these, you know, we're seeking these movies that feel honest and genuine and not like... They're, you know, only being made for the money, which is 90% of what cinema feels like today. You know, with all these sequels and prequels and trequels and, you know, spinoffs and remakes. And oh, Joelle remembered what else her advice, okay. The second piece of advice.
You're going to hear a lot of opinions, bad ones. Don't let them bring you down.
Okay, yeah, there we go. So that matches up with Omar's, you know, let your work express you and don't listen to people's opinions, because it's a very it can become a very toxic environment and affect you badly. Joel, Omar, thank you so much for coming. It was awkward, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I think I'm going to keep doing this, keep bringing my students on the show and, giving them a chance to speak out and share their views and stuff. I think it's helpful for others who are maybe about to enter into this journey to hear. So thank you so much for being on the show. So we're going to start off our goodbyes now. Our credits, except we're on the radio, so there are none. Nah. If you want to follow the show on social media, you could do so at Script to Screen Pod on Instagram, and you could also follow the solo to my Chewbacca for his reviewed in 60 seconds at hod.solo. You could also follow the show on Facebook at Script to Screen Pod. You can also check out our website at Script to Screen www.scripttoscreenpod.com. So yeah, this is it. Next week will be a special episode of the conversation that I had with the Ziada filmmakers, the creators of Ziada. It's a very, very cool conversation. It's a very cool episode. So it's going to be a lot of fun for you guys to listen to that. And after that, we'll be in July. And Hod will be back in the studio, but we're going to be changing things up in the coming weeks. We're going to be flip-flopping between Hod and friend of the pod, Yumna Nilful. She's going to be joining us every once in a while as well. So it's going to be fun. Script to Screen is shaking things up for the summer. We're just happy you screeners are always with us and you're listening on the show. Make sure you send us voice messages. Make sure you watch my TED Talk if you haven't, because it's awesome. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, guys.